You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No!
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us.
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you.
Say hello to my new friend.
No!
Yo, I'm getting this, Marcus. Step off.
That jacket is $1,800. No refunds.
What you think I can't pay for?
Well, there is no layaway plan.
Sucker, man. Don't even trip on that.
Racial.
Yeah, you right, man. Don't even trip on
that. Wait, no refund? I mean, what's he think? You gonna take the jacket, wear it, stank it all up to be damned, and then, like, give it back to him?
We can't get over this.
That's the same thing.
Just a natural fear of black people. This program, you know, like, watch.
Ah!
See how frightened you are?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to... Actually, you're not listening to FreedomTrainOnline.com. That's right. Things change. We got changes coming. This is Podcast Juice, and we're doing new things, big things. We're going to start this whole thing off with our discussion of the first summer blockbuster, The Avengers. At this point, I would imagine that everybody who's listening to this show has at least seen this movie, so this will be spoiler-terrific. We are going to spoil stuff. We're going to talk about it, get into it, likes, dislikes. Before we go on, my name is Michael Dean, but I'm not the only person on this thing. We've got all-star cast. We came together like the Avengers today, so we got the best of the best. First up, we have Mr. Q Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just ready to get my Avengers on. Let's get this thing cracking.
All right. And, of course, we have Mr. Big, Sexy, and Sack. How are you?
I am fantastic. Got my Avengers on. I got me some Supergirl love this afternoon.
Okay. And, of course, last but not least, we have Big Ken. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I wanted to get a little piece of this Avengers action, so I had to get in on the thing. You know what I mean?
All right. So let's just get into this. This is the Avengers. Of course, this is actually the official title is Marvel's The Avengers. And this is a compilation of all of the best from their previous Marvel movies, and I say the best ones, not all of the movies. Of course, this does not deal with the Fantastic Four and X-Men, which are some good movies. But this has to do with Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Black Widow, Hawkeye, and, of course, Mr. Shaft himself, Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson is in the building. And this has been – this. You know what? I thought about this. This is not something that hasn't been done before. Technically, you could probably say that Aliens versus Predators was the first movie to take different franchises and put them into a movie, but those movies sucked. So this is the first movie that was successful at, you know, melding them together and presenting something to us. And it's never been done where you have all these superheroes on screen, and we'll get into if it works or not. So let's just start it off at the top. We're going to go to Big Ken first of all. And what we're going to do here, we're just going to have everybody give us their, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minute quick take of the movie, and then we'll get into the other stuff. So, Big Ken, you're up to bat first. What's your take on Marvel's The Avengers?
Well, I just got to preface it by saying that, you know, I'm a longtime fan of The Avengers, the comics themselves, read the comics for a long time. And I was waiting anxiously for this movie, and I was a little bit skeptical. As great as the other Marvel movies have been, you know, the Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America movies have been, I was skeptical that they would be able to pull off, you know, actually bringing the Avengers to screen, you know, to, you know, show the team dynamic and stuff as it's laid out in the book. And I gotta say, man, I was blown away by this movie, man. It exceeded pretty much every expectation that I had going in. I mean, it's action-packed from basically from start to finish, and I pretty much really, really got into how well that all the other movies tied into this one. So it just goes to show that whoever is the brainchild of this plan, this master plan that Marvel had, man, they really thought it out and they fleshed out the details very well, because it just meshes together very well. You know, you have all the main characters, their backstories and everything, their motivations, they're all fleshed out from the previous films. So this film is not necessarily burdened by having to do that. So now they're able to just go forward and just, you know, explore the, you know, how the chemistry between the team members and all the action scenes. You get to see everybody showcased. I mean, it's just great, man. I mean, to me, they've raised the bar big time on any superhero flick from here on out. Is going to have big shoes to fill, in my opinion.
All right. And with that said, I hate to do it, but we're going to take a quick break, because we're dealing with technical shit all day, and I'm just, So we're going to be back in a second. Hold on.
Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps? Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up.
Storm.
Yes, sir.
Where's your take on the movies?
Well, I would say that much like Big Ken, I was very skeptical about how they would pull this off. You have all these A-list actors in this movie, and it just reminds me of, you know, the old legend of when they recorded We Are the World. Quincy Jones put up above the board, "Check your egos at the door," when everyone came to record their part. And it seems like that's what happened here. One thing I can honestly say is that it was amazing how all of these actors and the characters meshed together so well to create an ensemble, and you didn't feel like one character was hogging the limelight. I think they gave every character their just due for the most part in this film. And I think this film is a triumph of spectacle. And if you're into the superhero trope, I mean, this movie offers you everything you could possibly want. So on that level, I'd say this movie was a huge triumph.
Okay, that's your take on the movie?
Well, that's, I mean, I have more.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, continue.
No, I mean, but that was my summary. Now we're gonna get a little bit deeper into it, and then I will reveal some of the other issues I have with this movie.
Okay, just wanted to be clear. Big Sexy and Sack, what's your take on the movie?
You know, again, like everybody else, I was a little concerned about when this was announced. I remember the big hubbub in San Diego when all the actors were at San Diego and they're posing. I'm like, you know, they haven't shot a frame of film, so why are they even here? I don't give a damn. I didn't think it was going to happen. It happened. It happened great. I loved it. There are several geek out moments for me personally in the film. Everybody got a chance to shine a bit. Downey is killing it as Iron Man. The guy, I don't know the guy's name off the top of my head, who played Captain America, great. I have no complaints. You know, I have a couple of minor nitpicks, but no. Marvel has definitely set the bar a lot higher, so DC needs to step their game up.
Okay. All right, so my quick take is I enjoyed this movie. I love this movie, actually. I didn't know what to expect. From going off of the trailers, I could tell that it was just going to be, you know, super action-packed adventure. You know, everybody's in the costumes, and it was just going to be an explosion of superhero goodness, and it was. I think this movie actually, again, I agree with everybody, it raises the bar of what a superhero movie can be and what audiences can accept if done right. I think this movie shows that you can have people in the costumes, multiple characters, you know, aliens and otherworldly elements can be in it. It can be a fantasy movie, you know, just as what some of the comics are, you know. It can be science fiction. It doesn't have to be so, you know, black costume and real and all that kind of stuff. I think now people will accept, yes, you can do it if done right. This movie also had the task, again, of having multiple characters in it and everybody getting their shine, and this movie does that brilliantly. where before, you know, there's always been an issue of if you have too many characters in the movie, like Spider-Man or something, it always felt like somebody's going to get shortchanged. Well, I think, again, just like anything else, if you got great, if a great writer or people behind the movie know what they're doing, then you can have as many characters in there as you want. It just needs to be executed properly. And, you know, I would say actually probably the real star of this movie is Josh Whedon, the director and the writer. He shined. He came through. You know, they picked the right guy to do this and picked somebody who obviously knew the material as well as being a great filmmaker, which may be a rare thing to do sometimes. So, with that said, The Avengers was a triumph to me. It was not a perfect movie, but in terms of it being a action, popcorn, great time that everybody can go see, hands down, so far, one of the best to come in quite a long time. I will say the best comic book movie ever at this point. So with that said, wow. Let's go back. Let's go back around.
I'm with you.
Let's get into it because I know there's some things here that didn't you might not have been feeling. So what are some of? It's not a perfect film. At least I'm saying that. Maybe somebody thinks it is. But I'll start at Q-Storm. What are some of the things you want to elaborate on? I saw what you said on Facebook. You actually gave this, a 3 out of 5 star movie, if I'm not mistaken?
That's correct.
Why did you give it that?
That's not a bad average, is it?
Well, what were some of the reasons why it got 3 stars?
Well, okay. If I can have the floor just for a second, I'll tell you exactly why. Now, let me just say, overall, I enjoyed the movie, but I'm a comic book guy. You know, you guys, and I thank you and Ken and Mark, you guys, and Big Sexy. I credit you directly for getting me back into comics from like a 10-year drought of reading comics. So I've always been a comic book guy. So the movie is I'm going to go see the movie. I'm going to enjoy the movie to a certain degree, no matter what. Having said that, when the movie started and Loki comes into the scene, this is going to be, as you said, spoiler alert. That scene was completely badass. I was sold. I was like, my man Josh Whedon knows how to stage and shoot an action sequence. The whole thing with Loki coming in, kicking that ass, and I think he takes the cue, the whole shield thing blows up, and the girl's trying to get out in time, and I was like, this is gonna be a ride. Okay. The next scene that with Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America fighting each other, fellas, you don't know. I was like 5 feet off my chair. I was all into it. I had a smile on my face. I had a smile on my face. This was like all of those Marvel team up comic books where you have the two superheroes fighting each other. I was all into it. Then, the scene with the Black Widow, just that her scene alone, I was like, this is so fake, but I am all into it. She's kicking that ass. I'm all into it. And I said, Joss Whedon knows how to shoot. I haven't been a big purveyor of Joss Whedon. I respect it that his work has been very popular. But I didn't watch Buffy, and so I didn't watch, I think it was Firefly?
Yeah.
Serenity, he did. But I respected his craft, and I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, what have I been sleeping on this guy for? Then when they get to the helicarrier, fellas, I got to tell you, that whole scene where they're all bickering and arguing, and then the Loki shield people come and then what's his name? Hawkeye takes out the whole side of the helicarrier with an arrow. That was, to me, I felt the exact same way I felt when I was watching Phantom Menace. And the whole movie just ground to a halt.
Oh, hell no.
Hey. And the whole movie ground to a halt during the pod race scene. I felt exactly the same as when I saw that pod race scene on Phantom Menace. I was like, I really don't want to see my heroes wasting time when we're 2/3 into the movie and they're just trying to make the helicarrier not crash. That's not what I paid for. So right at that moment. I mean, it still has some great scenes. Thor fighting the Hulk, although it's ridiculous why the Hulk, you would even bring him on a helicarrier. But okay, I'll go with it. That was cool. But I'm thinking, guys, we're two-thirds in. I want to see some superhero kicking some villain ass. I don't want to see them trying to lift up a helicarrier. I mean, this should take 10 minutes at most, and let's keep it moving. But I was like, okay, fine. I'm cool. I've still got my characters. I still got my heroes in the bright clothing and everything. Cool. Then at the end, I know I'm prepared. I got my suit of armor on, fellas, okay? At the end of this movie, it was like Michael Bay came in and bum rushed the whole production. And I'm sitting there thinking, why do I give a fuck about these aliens? They came out of nowhere, and I don't know who they are. I don't know what their purpose is, and I'm not invested in them, whatever. They're just video game targets. Now, it made for some cool spectacle. There were some cool hand-to-hand fight scenes that I was geeking to and all that, but overall, I was like, I really don't care about these villains at all. They're not interesting to me. And it just seemed like a tacked-on kind of, you know, Transformers was really hot, and Roland Emmerich and Michael Bay, they made tons of money destroying a city. But let's have that scene in this movie. And I got to a certain point, even though I enjoyed seeing some of the hand-to-hand stuff and, you know, Captain America finally getting this dude, because I think they did him short shrift at the beginning when he was fighting Loki. They punked him out too much. But at the end, he kind of took over the leadership role and this and that, and using his stone and shield. That was cool. And the Hulk stole the show. I mean, he gave me a lot during that last scene. But overall, it was like, I feel like I'm watching a Michael Bay movie. I don't give a shit about these aliens. Who are they? Why do I care?
Okay, let's cut it right there.
Can I interject, Mike?
Yeah,
can I interject?
Go ahead.
All right, well, first and foremost, okay, look, this is why I asked to be on this show, because I knew my man Q, and I got much love for Q, but the ghetto Roger Ebert, I knew he was going to slice this film up.
Hold on.
You are very much entitled to your opinion, and I got nothing but respect. You got none of respect. Okay, but look, for me, let me say this. Okay, Mike and Mark, it's fair to say that this version of the Avengers is more or less based off the Ultimate Avengers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so based on that, look, this is how I looked at it. I can't go into a movie like this worrying about, you know, all the plot points tying up and everything being perfect from a character standpoint and all that the way Q does it. So I didn't even go in it that way. I looked at it based off the source material that I know, the characters that I know, and based on the stories that have already been forged from the movies previous that led into it, right? And based on that, I knew that they were going to be tacking the Ultimate Universe, and so I had a frame of reference by which to judge this from. Now, I looked at that. And my first thing, one of the things that I like about this movie that it sounds like Q didn't particularly care or he didn't get, is that, let me preface it by saying this way, it's not a direct apples to apples comparison, so I don't want you guys to take it out of context, but you look at how some movies that do these team-based movies, let's take X-Men, for example, the first X-Men. Now, granted, again, it's not an apples to apples comparison. But in both cases, you have a team of superpowered people, okay, working together, right? Unlike the way they did it in X-Men, the thing about the Avengers that I love so much is that they showed you the team dynamic, okay, as it was being built. Meaning, these guys didn't come together and automatically they're going to work and just start kicking ass. It don't work that way. You got different personalities, different characters. It's going to take them a minute, just like it does in the books, for them to build those type of relationships. So, yeah, Thor and Iron Man are going to, they're not going to hit it off, because Thor's got his agenda and Iron Man has got his. Cap is not going to be digging, you know, the pompousness of Tony Stark, because that's not from the realm that he comes from. So, yeah, it's going to take them a minute then to mesh as a team. And that's what happened. That whole sequence about the helicarrier getting Loki breaking out of the helicarrier and all that, and he had Hawkeye, that was necessary for them to ratchet up the action to another level, for them to realize that, yeah, we got to band together as a team, and it ended up costing the life, or at least we think it cost the life of Agent Coulson in the process, and that pushed them to go farther. That pushed them to get past a lot of this stuff and to try to work together as a team. And that's the one thing about this that I really did like about this movie, because unlike, let's say, X-Men, again, that's not a direct comparison, but it's one of the one that came to mind when I was watching this movie. They could have very, very easily focused the entire, most of the action on, say, Iron Man. Okay, let's face it. Robert Downey Jr. is the main star, you know, in this ensemble. Okay, his movies were the most successful. He's the character probably most people that's, you know, most non-comic book readers that are going to go to this movie, they're going to know him based on the success of these movies. So they could have easily did like they did in the X-Men movies and center everything around Wolverine because he's the most popular character, but they didn't. Like we all said earlier, they gave each character a chance to shine. They showed each character what each character offers to the team. So like that Black Widow sequence you were talking about in the beginning, yeah, you got to see her coax out information from the targets that she needed to, even if she had to play like she was, you know, scared or frightened, she was able to do that. And then when she was done, she kicked the shit out your ass real quick while she was holding, and then picked up her heels and walked off. You know what I'm saying? You got a chance to see each and every one of them. You could see Thor doing his thing, knocking cars like they cans with his hammer. You got to see the Hulk do his thing. You got to see Iron Man do his thing and Cap do his thing. And then because they meshed together as a team, then when the time came, when the shit hit the fan against the Chitauri, who were in the Ultimate Avengers, if I'm not mistaken,
right.
So they were in the books.
Were
they
actually in the book?
They were in the books. And in the books, correct me if I'm wrong, in the books, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think Loki had anything to do with the Chitauri. So that's a Joss Whedon thing they did for this movie. But in the context of this movie, Loki is using them. Because the Chitauri want the cube. They want the cosmic cube. So he's using them to basically use them as his army to invade Earth so he can take it over. So that's why we give a damn about the Chitauri. They're just a vehicle for Loki to come in there and kick ass. That's what their importance is.
Well, let me...
You know what I'm saying?
Well, what? Okay.
Let me kind of jump in here just a little bit. and I want to get to Q-Storm. I was just addressing the whole point of the helicarrier part. To me, personally... That's some of the best parts of the movie. I actually like when you see the characters and, you know, you can use the word bickering. I like to see that interaction because, to me, that's some of the great writing that Joss Whedon does. It's like, okay, everything that each character said to me, it was like, it was in their character. Like, to me, the favorite of this movie, Captain America, to me, I'm like, he's my god right now. That guy was, to me, he was killing in this movie. But everything that each character did to me when they were talking amongst each other, it was that character. Like, he nailed each one of those persons. Yeah, we got the Robert Downey Jr. style Iron Man. We got Thor. We got Steve Rogers. Even we got the Hulk in a way we've never really seen before, but he made that work within this. Like, okay, this is the Hulk style David Banner that was brilliant. You know, even I liked Edward Norton, but this was, like, even better. Like, it was different. I was like, yes, he's funny. You know, he's in there chopping it up with everybody. I thought all of that was amazing to see them talk. To me, again, it just showed, like when I just point to Steve Rogers or Captain America, he was, like, really gangster. Like, he was like, you know what? I don't like this cat right here. He's one of these, you know, Tony Stark. He's, like, one of these cats running off at the mouth. He's not really ready to put in no work. Like, he said, put the suit on. Like, he just kept saying, it was hilarious to me. I was like, he's ready to whip his ass.
He was calling everybody son.
Yeah.
He was from a different time. Exactly. And then, listen, son.
And so his whole thing was great. So the carrier scene to me, I thought was excellent. I actually thought the movie started to pick up a little bit once you got to that because you had everybody in play. And it kind of showed what really Loki's character, in my opinion, is about. He's a manipulator. He's a prankster. He's like,
exactly.
He gets in there and fucks with you. You know, he got a lot of game about himself. I like the scene where he's first walking into the Hello character with the guards, and he looks at David Banner through the window, and he smiles like, ah, yeah. You know, I mean, just the way he played it when he came through, he was like, yeah, bitch, you little bitch, you don't even know. Like, there was so much game in his little sneer at him, and you're like, what is this dude's situation? And he, again, it just goes to show, he was really behind them bickering. You know,
exactly.
My man was about to pull out that staff, even though he did it. They were like, dude, put that shit down. You know, everybody's ready to draw down on him, and it was about to be ridiculous. Q-Storm, I want to make sure that you can get in here. And we're going to come back to some of the other points that you brought up there. Q.
I'm sorry.
I meant to say Big Sexy. We're going to go to Big Sexy. But just shift gears a little bit. There were a lot of classic moments in this movie. I think if you were a fan or not, there was a lot of, like, quotables and a lot of really slick nods to things from the comic books. Big Sexy, can you give us some of the – what were some of the moments in this movie that you were just, like, you just geeked out? You just kind of lost it. Like,
geez, there are several. The first one was near the beginning when they're on the helicarrier before we know it's a helicarrier, and someone said, are we going to submerge? And I'm thinking, submerge? And then you see the big turbines, and I'm in the, you know, crowded theater with everybody else. I'm like, oh, shit, it's the SHIELD helicarrier! I'm freaking out, and it is so cool. A scene where Hulk tried to pick the hammer up, that was framed directly from, Avengers number 3 or Journey to Mystery 112,
mm-hmm.
The first Thor-Hulk fight. Hulk cannot pick it up. Loki getting his ass whipped by the Hulk was great.
That's hilarious.
He beat him like he talked about his mama. You know, and then Hulk again, when he smacked Thor, you know, after that one fight scene, you know, there were just so many things going on. And like Mike said, Iron Man, the tension between Cap and Iron Man, because they are two entirely different people, and it's like, put on the suit. He's like, what are you without the suit? Mm-hmm. Put on the suit. And I think the portion of the helicarrier where they tried to, where they saved the helicarrier, that showed Iron Man growing up and embracing being a hero and not about himself or his money. He's doing something for other people now, and it was like a response to Captain America's challenge. The only thing I didn't like, and this is nitpicky, I just didn't like from a creative standpoint Black Widow being on the team because she's not on the team back in the day, but I understand they had her from the Iron Man movies and for whatever reason didn't want to use Scarlet Witch or Wasp or any other, you know, earlier Avengers character. But that aside, Scarlett Johansson did a great job and she jiggled through the scenes and whatnot. I think Hawkeye, he could have been cast a little better, but again, it's a nitpick. I love the hell out of this movie, and I think I think Hulk stole it. Hulk stole the movie for me.
This was actually, I would say, one of the first interpretation of the Hulk when I think they got it right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and like Mike said earlier, I'm with you. I dug the way Edward Norton played it, but you know, I think that movie, as great as it was, they tried to make it too much like the Incredible Hulk television show. You know what I mean? In terms of him being lonely and walking alone down the streets and the little sad music playing and stuff in the background. I mean, that was all from the TV show with Lou Ferrigno. You know what I'm saying? But it just seems like Mark Ruffalo got the essence of Banner right, and they had interjected just enough humor, and he played. I mean, it was just awesome to see Hulk just go nuts, man. Like you see him, and the only thing missing, man, that the Hulk should have did the Hulk clap. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You know, they had that in the Incredible Hulk movie. That's the only thing they should have put in this one. Some instance where he did that, they would have captured everything else, man. But the Hulk, I think it was designed for the Hulk to steal the movie, man, because he was the best, man. And that whole scene that Big Sexy just alluded to, where he was kicking the shit out of Loki, man, it was just ridiculously funny. And I liked, you know, the little jab that he gave Thor that you mentioned too, because in the comics, Thor and him are always bickering and, you know, which one's the strongest and all that. And that's straight out of the comics, man. So I love it.
Yeah, I'll just say my two quick classic moments. I loved when there was the Thor Iron Man fight, and when my man Captain America jumped in there, he said, "Man, just put the hammer down." When Thor said, "You want to see me put down the hammer?" I mean, to me, it sort of kind of took me out of his character, because I was like, "This dude is crazy!" Like, he was ready to. I mean, he brought the heat. I wish they didn't end it right there, because I really wanted to see him smack both of them cats down. Like, don't put your hands on me, kid. I'm a god. I'll destroy both of you, kids. But I just love that. It just reminded me of wrestling or something. It was just like, these dudes are, it's just crazy. It's like, yeah, and everybody was cheering and stuff.
But you know what was really cool though, Mike, man, and you guys alluded to it earlier. I'm with you. It seemed like you're right. Right when the whole action started on the helicarrier, the action seemed to really pick up from that point all the way to the end, right? But you're right. All the bickering and all the stuff that goes on, that's what's supposed to happen, man. I mean, at that instant, they're not a team yet. They haven't grown to become a team. But what I thought was really cool is that when the shit gang came down, you know, and the last act of the movie, when they're getting ready to fight all the Chitauri, man, that's when their true personalities came out. You know, they easily, I won't say easily, but they naturally went into their natural roles. Captain America, I mean, he's a leader, man. He stood up and became the leader. Like, okay, Thor, you do this, and Black Widow, you do this, Hawkeye, you do this, Iron Man, you go do this, and Hulk, you smash. And then he proceeded to take the shield and get up and go kick major ass.
Yeah.
And that was great, amazing, man.
Captain America was, I mean, way better than in he was in his movie. I mean, he was elevated up from that. I'm like, I want to see his movie. I don't know why. I was just, you know why I liked him too? And I thought it was funny. He wore his costume the entire movie, basically, except for just a couple little seconds. And I thought that was hysterical. But I was like, you know what? This dude is just Captain America. That's all he do. Like, he's ready to get it popping. And it's just, you know, he already suited up. He just, and if you notice through the movie, he just kept saying that to people, go suit up. You know, put suit up. Go suit up.
Like, he's a soldier, man. That's all he knows.
Soldier. Like, he was not having it. You know, he was like straight to the point. You know, my man and them, oh, what are they doing with phase two? Oh, let's get on the computer. He just was like, man, buck that. I'm going to go in here and bust his door down and go in here and get this shit. Y'all take it too long. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't joking around. I just thought he was hysterical. And like I said, he just wore that suit, which the suit with the helmet was ridiculous. But once he started doing his thing, I didn't even care no more. I was like, you know what? Wear the suit, homie. Like, at least.
And y'all got to give up. We got to give some props up, too, I think, man. Tom Hiddleston or Hiddleston as Loki, man, he was slick as oil, man.
He did his thing. I thought that the way he came off at the beginning, though, when he was just kicking ass, I thought that was dope, but I was like, man, I don't remember him really being hard like that in the first movie. And I would kind of, the only nitpick I would say, and I'm going to shut up, I thought he should stay exactly how he was at the beginning of the movie through the entire movie. He seemed to be getting his ass whooped a lot later on in the movie. I was like, where was that dude that was shooting down everybody? He just was like a ninja or something at the beginning. And then he kind of turned into a little bickering bitch a little bit. And he was kind of whining and stuff, but...
That's what Loki is, right?
Yeah.
He's a sniveling, you know. Like you say, he's the type of dude that'll, you know, start up some stuff behind the scenes, but he's not going to jump right out in front and claim it. You know what I'm saying? So
he's like one of those old characters from the old Kung Fu theater films who'll start the shit, walk up to Bruce Lee, say, my boss say you motherfucker, and then run.
But he was hilarious, though. Like, he was like,
Can I weigh in once more?
Yeah, real quick. His whole stuff when he was talking about bowing down to him and all that, I thought that stuff was hilarious. Just the stuff he would say. But go ahead, man.
See, that's what I wanted to say. You guys have pointed on something. But I wasn't expecting, when Loki came on the scene, I'm thinking, okay, this is the Loki from the Thor movie. So when he came on the scene and started kicking ass, I was like, oh, okay. All right, we got a villain that is going to be interesting, and I'm curious to see what these aliens have to do with it, because this dude can handle himself pretty good. And then, like you just said, towards the second or third act, it was like his character was completely written totally differently. And I know that scene where the Hulk grabs him and slams him around was. I know that got a major laugh, but I'm thinking, okay, this dude is a demigod just like Thor is. What, I mean, that was good for a laugh, but...
But Loki's not a fighter, though. That's not his...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, fellas. He was a fighter. When he first came out that queue, he took out 5 S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah, he was cold at the beginning. I agree with you.
Yeah, but he had that staff. He had that staff, though, too, that had a little bit of that cosmic cube energy with him at the time, at the beginning. By the time the end gets around, when the Hulk was, you know, whipping his ass, he didn't have that. Remember, because Black Widow was trying to, you know, close the portal with it.
So you're saying that he got his skills from the staff?
No, I'm not saying his skills, but I'm saying I'm this is my hypothesis. His augmented fighting skills, if you will. Like Big Sexy said, If you read the books, Loki is not, that's not Loki's character. Loki is a mischief maker, you know, behind the scenes. You know, he, like Mike said, he's the type that wants to get everybody fighting and bickering, then he closes in for the kill. So that beginning sequence, yeah, is a little bit out of his character. So I attribute that might have had something to do with that cosmic cube infused staff that the Chitauri, you know, modified or gave him or whatever. And that's what he came into the shield, that shield place with, was that with that staff, and he's shooting people with it and sticking it in their chest and taking them over. So I'm just guessing maybe that has something to do with his, you know, all of a sudden Bruce Lee skills in the beginning, you know, and his lack thereof toward the end because he didn't have it.
And at the risk of sounding like, you know, an overly concerned person about current topics, Loki is a bully, and Hulk has grabbed him and whipped his ass. Loki didn't have a chance to really do anything. You know, because Loki didn't expect him to just, you know, grab him, just smack him around. Because, like, he's thinking, this is the Hulk. This guy is just stupid. He don't know what he's doing. And he grabbed him and beat him like a rag doll. And the best.
Didn't he call him, like, mindless brute or mindless, mindless something, he called him.
And he grabbed him and just whipped him. And you can see Loki's face, and he's, as he's in the floor, like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, he got his ass whipped. I mean, but, you know, at the same point, he did get up from that. You know, if that was Captain America or somebody, it'd have been a wrap. Like, he'd have been over. You know, he'd have been dead. So, let's talk about that last part of the movie. You know, probably the last 30 minutes was just a super action, straight action sort of, you know, invasion sort of scene. Now, I will say this about those aliens, and I don't think this is by coincidence. When they were destroyed, when they died, I was like, wow, that's straight out of Phantom Menace. You know, where they
took out the droid control ship.
The droid robot. I was waiting for Jar Jar. And what's he going on? You know, but I said, hey, you know what? I said, you
that's
know what?
Wow.
This is movie still. It's so awesome. I don't care. Like, yeah, they just kind of dropped off. But I will say this. They were cannon fodder. Their whole thing to me, you don't know what they are. You don't know what their abilities of those guys were. They just had guns. They look cool, but they were there to me to showcase what these heroes can do and to have cool ass shit going on. Yes, was that Michael Bay? Yes. But to me, again, Michael Bay shines in action scenes, but his whole movies are action scenes with no story. This has a story. I care about these characters. Yes, they defeated these aliens. But to me, again, this movie serves as the first time we've ever really got to see something like this, where you got the superheroes going hard against, I guess, an alien invasion. It's not just people, Lex Luthor or whatever, and they're going crazy. Hawkeye, Black Widow, ew. Like, I'm like, afraid, you know, when you see the commercial, you see Black Widow cocking a gun, you know, when it spins around there, I'm like, what's this bitch ain't gonna do now? What's she doing? She ain't got no power. She's a superhuman. I don't know what her. She's a mutant to me, because, like, I'm like, okay, she's in there chopping it up with these aliens, like, doing all this kung fu stuff and winning, and then she's like, how are we going to stop it? Well, maybe take over one of them ships. How is she able to survive getting thrown in the air and jump up and grab some probably 300-mile-per-hour jet cycle and her arms don't just get ripped out their sockets? I was like, you know what? I don't care. It don't make no sense. Badass. I was like, these characters are dope. They are comic book characters. If this was, and we're going to get into it, if this was The Dark Knight, her arms would have got ripped off. But this not reality. This is a comic book. So
that's true. You know what? You know what? You just pinpointed it, Mike. And I'll just say this real quick, man. About this whole action thing at the end, when I was a kid, man, one of the reasons why I gravitated toward the Avengers and other team-oriented books, you know, like the Defenders and the X-Men and, you know, Justice League and all that kind of stuff, is because I always dug the notion, man, and the way they had it laid out in the pages, man, to see multiple heroes, like you're saying, cutting it, chopping it up, as you say, you know, getting their action on, getting their shine on in the fights and all that stuff on the page. That just is fodder for your imagination, right? And basically, man, they recreated that on the screen, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it may be Michael Bay, man, but I've never seen that level and that intensity of action you know, like that, you know, in the context of how the Avengers are. Yeah, you see the Transformers movie and you see shit flying all over the place, but half the mugs look all alike. You can't tell which one's a Decepticon, which one's an Autobot. And then you got, you know, Megan Fox or whoever the big titty chick is they got in their movie running across the screen. You know, it's just not the same, man. But this has a context to it. And it just, to me, it took me back to when I used to buy those books, man. And, you know, you see them fighting Kang the Conqueror or, you know, Baron Zemo or whoever it is. And you find five or six of them in the team going off. I mean, that was the great part about it, man. It was excellent to me, that whole fight scene at the end.
Well, can I just wanted to speak to something that Mike said. And, you know, Mike made the point about, you know, if what's her name? Black Widow. I want to say Scarlet Witch. you know, if she had been pushed up in the air and grabbed, her arms would have ripped out. Well, see, to me, that is something I can let go by. I can let that, just like I can let it go by that the stormtroopers can't hit Luke Skywalker to save their lives. I can let that go by because something has to happen to make the action go forward. So that's okay. I'm just saying, if you have an enemy that presents no kind of jeopardy to the heroes, I just get bored. The only time I felt like any of the heroes were in jeopardy was when they were fighting each other. Other than that, it was just like they were playing a video game. And while it makes for fun, and you know, it's interesting to see at a certain level. Like I've said, I love seeing the Hulk jump on the building. I mean, that was, like you guys said, that was the first time I've seen the Hulk give he was given his due, even better than in his own movies. That was exhilarating to see that. But after a while, it's to me, if there's no sense of any kind of jeopardy for the heroes, where they just shoot and the bad guys blow up, I tend to get bored. So I have to say, at that end part, after a certain moment, I was like, okay, I know they're all going to win. Let's just blow them all up so we can get this thing moving. I just got bored after a while.
Well,
you didn't get an impending sense of danger when, okay, yeah, they took out the first big ship that had a bunch of them on there, but then you see three, four of them coming down. They can't close the portal. And then the damn council has them fire a nuclear missile. You didn't get any sense of danger from any of that?
You raised a good point. The nuclear missile, that was an interesting dynamic. I liked seeing that. Okay. That was cool. But when the portal opened up and then you had three or four of those big worms coming through, I was thinking, okay, well, let's see how they get out of this. The very next scene, you see the physicist, Dr. Solvig, right? He comes out of Loki's mind control and says, his staff will shut down the portal. I'm like, really? All this and that's all it takes?
Well, so, I would agree with you, Q.
No, I did not. That ruined that little bit for me.
I will say this, what you did say. I didn't get a sense of danger from any of it, but I would say that of probably 100% of the comic book or superhero movies I see. I know they ain't going to kill none of them. So I know that going right off the gate. So well, to me, the fun of it is watching them get through all the stuff. And to me, I think in this one, like you said, the fun of this and that particular action scene at the end is to see all these heroes actually getting to be who their characters are. In most movies, they tone it down. Like, they're not going to have Thor go... He's not going to do all the shit you really, really want to see him do, because for whatever budgetary or whatever reasons. Hulk is not going to do all the shit that you would love to just see him go ham in a movie, but he does it here. Iron Man does even more stuff. Captain America, as much as he did in his movie, they truncated it to me. And here, you got to see him be Captain America. He got to go into a bank situation and hold it down. He's in the streets holding it down. He's doing all this. All of them are, to me, I think, what makes this movie work is right.
Hey, Mike.
There is no impending danger.
I would agree with you. You know, I want to say one thing real quick. I would agree with you that although I didn't like how they treated Captain America at the beginning of the movie, where Iron Man had to save him from Loki, I think Captain America was treated better in this movie in terms of his abilities than he was in his own movie. I think he shined more in this movie than he did in his own movie.
But it could also be argued that the threat was greater in this movie than it was in his own movie. The old movie was set in the 40s, and they didn't have much in terms of, you know, this type of tech and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just saying, I think the threat level was ratcheted up So yeah, there's no impending danger. We know none of these mugs is gonna get killed. We know they all got sequels and sequels after that. So you know they're gonna win.
I'm just saying,
you know, it was just, to me, it was well done. Look, you compare and contrast again. It's not an apples to apples comparison, but compare and contrast how they handled the X-Men. They spent most of the action on Wolverine. They made Storm look like a total joke. She didn't do nothing. You end up getting Beast, didn't get nothing until what, the movie 3. You got maybe 10 seconds of screen time on Iceman and Colossus, and that wasn't until the second or third movie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so the way they distributed, like Mike said, yeah, it's a big set piece for them to just showcase what they do. But man, you got a chance to really see each one in the character that we know as the followers of these comics, the fans, the fanboys, fangirls, whatever you want to call us, you know what they are capable of. You get to see a glimpse of that. And you're right, they're not going to be able to show all of it because of budgetary constraints. It could be they want to save some for the next movie. Who knows?
But see, Big Ken, what I'm trying to tell you is that I am not unsatisfied about what they showed the heroes doing. I thought they showed all the heroes doing what they do best. I don't have any complaints about that. So I'm not.
Your complaint is that you didn't care about why they were doing it. So it was Michael Bay like it was just a big interpreting thing.
Okay, let me be clear. So there's no room for interpretation.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that I wish there would have been a better villain throughout the whole movie to make me care about what the heroes were doing. That's what I wish.
Can you give me an example of what type of villain you're talking about? Well, I mean, I'll tell you.
I mean, even if I had seen more. I'm going to use this word that'll probably get me banished, but it's a cliche, but it's true. Even if I'd just seen a little bit more development with these aliens, you saw them at the beginning for about 2 minutes, and then they take up the whole end of the movie. So I didn't really give a shit about them. I didn't know.
Right, but you're not supposed to give a shit about them. There is no development for that because they're nothing but pawns to Loki. That's all they were. Their whole purpose for them to he just used them as an army. That's it. There's nothing to care about with them. We know they're gonna get killed.
Let me ask you this question: To me, those aliens were the same thing as, and Michael kind of touched on this. They were the same thing as those droid armies that the Gungans were fighting. I did not care about that scene there, and I didn't care about these aliens here. They were pointless.
I disagree with that because. Reading the book, knowing that Chitauri are really the Skrulls of the normal Marvel Universe, and a couple of years ago we had this big, big thing with Secret Invasion around the Skrulls, so I'm thinking, okay, we got Skrull, we may have a Secret Invasion set up for the next film. So I thought they were used okay, and it was resolved later how they're not going to be Secret Invasion material, but we're not going to get into that. But I don't think they were just like a bunch of those droids or whatever you call it in the Star Wars film at all. No, they had consequence.
Yeah, man, but even still, I agree with you, Big Sexy. I mean, it's the same thing. You're right. Those droids in there, yeah, they're pointless to us as the audience because we know that they're basically pawns for the Emperor, for Vader, and for whoever, Palpatine, whoever's, in control. That's where the conflict is. It has nothing to do with the droids or in this case, the Chitauri. So, yeah, I mean, but the action is necessary, though. The action is necessary for you to move the story along. The action is necessary for you to grow as an audience member with the main characters, with the main protagonist. That's what the whole point of it is. So, I mean, you don't have to be, and these are my opinion, why should I don't have to be emotionally invested in the Chitauri so I can feel more for the heroes. I mean, I'm feeling for the heroes because I'm seeing them do on the screen what I've seen them do in the books. You think what I'm saying? That's where my emotional investment is. I'm seeing my favorite hero has always been Thor, and I'm seeing him knock cars over like they empty pop bottles, man. And that was enough. I saw Thor take his hammer and knock the crap out of the Hulk and send him back about 100 feet. That got me out of my chair. I almost spilled my popcorn on the lady sitting in front of me. That's what I care about. I'm not dogging you, I'm not dissing you, I'm just saying, I don't understand, to me, I think that you're putting too much focus on this character development with the side, the Chitauris and all that. I mean, the main character development has already been done and established for the main characters that we're watching. It's been done in all the previous movies.
Let me just, Let me just say two things.
Q, say your thing, and then we're going to move on to something else. Go ahead.
I have to say two things. The first thing is, like I said before, I felt like the only times I felt like the heroes were in jeopardy was when they were fighting each other.
Okay.
And I was out of my seat when I saw Thor swing his hammer and knock the Hulk back. I loved those scenes because I felt there was some consequence. That the heroes, you know, you didn't know who was stronger than the other because you were invested in all the heroes. So that's why when you see them fight each other, when I saw them fight each other, I actually gave a shit because I was invested in the characters.
Okay.
And just say number two. I know the movie had a different tone. It was more realistic. It wasn't really comic book. But The Dark Knight was a brilliant film because you had a hero and a villain who were both equally interesting.
Okay, now we're going to stop it right there because we're going to go into that a little later. Lastly, the last thing I want to do with this movie here, I think we've all kind of said what we thought about it. Let's just touch on the ending part and what they're showing us where this thing is going to go. Again, this is spoiler talk, so we're going to talk about what they show at the very end of the movie. At the very end of the movie, goes back to where the movie first started. We're in outer space, which unto itself is a whole other thing that none of these movies ever really do. And I thought this did it great. Was that Emperor Palpatine? I don't know. But they get into the end, and they show Thanos. Now, for people who know nothing of the Avengers, you'll be looking at that and like, what the hell is this? But for those who know about the stories of the Avengers and who that character was, it shows us that they're going to go, what they say in the book, they're going to go cosmic. They're definitely going into the science fiction realm, fantasy realm, and it's going to be some big shit go down in these books. I will say, if we remember the Infinity Gauntlet glove.
Yep.
Was shown. I don't know if it was actually shown in the movie.
It was. It was very quick, though. Very quick.
It was shown in Thor, I believe. In Odin's.
It was in Odin's treasure room when they were walking and putting the Frost Giants, that little blue cube with the Frost Giants power or whatever, when they were putting it in there as they were walking. You have to do, pause it, freeze frame. Real quick, you see the Infinity Gauntlet in his treasure room.
So they're giving us a nod that they're going to go huge with this. They're going in a direction I always said that you have to go with these movies. You got to throw in the sci-fi element. You got to throw in the fantasy element. And I think that, and even they even mentioned in the movie, when Thor was introduced, that character, and that movie came out, they're gods. They're not of this earth, so it's a fantasy. It becomes a fantasy. You know, how do you meld fantasy with, like, even Iron Man, which is kind of trying to be real? But they've done that, and now they're about to go even further. So just real quickly, and let's compare, and we'll compare, because you brought up The Dark Knight, and we're going to get into that. But Q-Storm.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. You ended us. So we're going to go to Big Sexy. I'm sorry. What is your take on Thanos and what that can mean to this movie franchise?
You know, Thanos is huge. A lot of people, again, who don't read the books don't know. Thanos is a major villain to the point of he can put the heroes in jeopardy. They're not just going to smack him around. This guy's serious. He courts death. He's all about genocide on a planetary level. This guy is no joke. And I didn't see the Infinity Gauntlet, and Thor, I'm going to have to pull that out and take a look. But if we've got the Infinity Gauntlet running around, because people who read the books know that Thanos put that together. So if he's coming looking for that, there's going to be a big, big problem. And, I was waiting for the end credits to see what was going to happen. And when I saw him turn around, like another geek out moment for me, and he just sit there and grinned. I'm like, okay, we have a problem now. Their lives are about to get a whole lot more difficult.
Yep.
Big Ken.
Yeah, I echo that sentiment, man. I mean, I saw Thanos. I'm like, wow, okay, they ratcheted it up now a notch. Because you're right, you got to go cosmic. And, they already started that a little bit with all the Asgardian stuff, the Nine Realms. You only got a chance to see a couple of the Nine Realms in the first movie. So maybe in the second movie you'll see more. And because when now if people listen to the show, if they didn't know, now they'll know. Since we see that the Infinity Gauntlet has been shown ever so briefly in the Thor movie in Odin's Treasure Room, you know, I'm really curious to see how they interplay that in the second Thor movie. You know, is that going to be a main part of the story or what have you? Are they going to center on the Infinity Gauntlet? I mean, because if memory serves me correctly, and I'm big sexy, you probably can correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't at some point Thanos, didn't he have the Cosmic Cube himself, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so he may be trying to go get the cube, you know, so who knows? And Thor and Loki took the cube back with them at the end of this movie. So it could be a lot of that going on in Asgard, you know, and Thor too, you know. So I'm geeked up just to see how that plays out for my own personal reasons. Because like I said, man, I'm an Asgardian, bro. I'm down with the gods, man. So I would love to see how that plays out. So they already got my money, man. It's a wrap. Can I buy tickets now?
Q-Storm, any observations on that last scene?
I'm going to have to be honest with you. I know of the character Thanos, and I know of Infinity Gauntlet, but I'm not that familiar with the universe or with the story arc. So I don't really have much to say about that.
All right, so let's get into comparisons, because everybody's going to do that. The main comparison right now, I guess, would be this Avengers movie and like the Dark Knight and the upcoming Dark Knight Rises. I will say this. Just to lead it off, these are both movies based on comic book heroes, characters. But I think these particular movies obviously are totally different tones and totally different movies. I would say that The Avengers is an action adventure movie, sci-fi fantasy, and The Dark Knight is more of a drama, crime sort of drama, but it's a drama movie. If you took out the costumes out of The Dark Knight, that movie would still be a good movie, just on the story alone, right? I mean, what's going on? If it was a great detective and some psycho killer dude, you could still play that movie. Which goes to show that on the genre of movie that it is a good movie within that genre. But I will say that in terms of it being a sci-fi fantasy movie, it's totally different. I can't really compare the two, because there's things that's going on in an Avengers movie that cannot exist in Dark Knight. So I don't think they're really comparable, only in the sense that they're both from the comic book world. To me, I see it the same way as if you said, hey, I like Marvel and DC books, and somebody said, hey, I like Vertigo books or The Walking Dead or something. Yeah, they're both in the same medium, but they're entirely different books. They're entirely different tones.
Mike, this might be a better analogy. It's like somebody comparing Star Wars to Star Trek. You know, they're both set in space, but the tones are completely different, man. Yeah. So it's hard to compare them.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can really compare the two, because, again, The Dark Knight is focused on Batman and usually the villain and different things, and it's really made to be realistic. And I will say this, after seeing the trailers of the new one, now that last movie was amazing. Like, one of the best movies of comic book ever. But the way that I judge these movies is, can I watch them over and over again? Like, do they just like classic where I'm just like, man, let me just watch this part over. This is great, great. For me, The Dark Knight, right? The Dark Knight Returns, I can't watch that movie very much. Because the reason why, I want to see more Batman. I want to see Batman doing Batman stuff and going crazy and whooping everybody, but that's not what that movie is about. Which is why I like a movie like The Avengers, because they just have, like Captain America, he's in the costume the whole time. And they're just being superheroes, and they're just showing every geeked out sort of thing I would love to see them do. They do it. That's why I like that. And it's just like a movie that I could watch over and over and over again. It is about as long as the other one, but it doesn't seem to be that way to me. But the Dark Knight movie is more serious, and it's more about like some of the things Q was saying, like the character development and stuff, which I like that. But those aren't the type of movies that I would want to see over. And it would kind of drag to me. Like, I want to just fast forward to the Batman parts where he's doing his thing. You know, that's the only thing I can say about that movie. The new one, I have no clue because I ain't seen it. But I'm curious, what are you guys' takes on these? Is does the Avengers change the game?
To me, it does.
Definitely.
To me, and I said this on Facebook, man. To me, it from here on out, Dark Knight Rises included, Spider-Man included, it raises the bar big time because, like, and you said it earlier, man. If you're a fan of the comic books or hell, even the cartoons, you know, Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes or whatever. If you've seen that on television and in the books, you know what these characters are capable of, what their defined roles are. You know what to expect. And they basically, for all intents and purposes, you know, minus a few nitpicks here and there, they did a direct translation of that from book to screen in live action, man. You know, and for all intents and purposes, you know, they hit a grand slam with it, man. And so now if you're a studio and somebody comes to you and says, okay, we want to make a new movie about the Flash, you know, you gotta raise the game up a little bit. Now, Dark Knight is gonna get a pass only because of the stature of the previous two movies, and I think that stature is well deserved. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that those movies are whack. Those are excellent movies, especially the last one. The verdict for me personally is still out on this new one based on the trailer that I've seen. I don't know. I really don't know. I can't seem to get a handle on it, man. I mean, I know the Bane story, I know, you know, Breaking the Bat and all that stuff, man, but I don't know how much of that is going to get translated to from the story to the movie, and I can't get over, you know, the Bane costume and the voice and Catwoman. I mean, dude, we've seen Catwoman. We got to see Catwoman again? You know what I'm saying? I mean, so it's just like, I don't know. So to me, Avengers has set it so high that I don't even know if Dark Knight Rises can eclipse it or even match it. You know, for me personally, I'm going to go see it though, but I don't know, man. Stakes have been raised, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the trailers are being deceptive for a reason. I don't think they're showing us. I think that's just Nolan's style not to show
us. Well, that's true. But you alluded to the earlier. It's probably not going to be, based on the tone of those movies, it's not going to be an action pack. You know, they're going to have their action set pieces in the film, we know. You know, the big confrontation here and this and that, but it's going to be more story driven. So it's not going to be anywhere near the level of what we saw in the Avengers in terms of being a action packed popcorn flick or whatever. But it's not designed to be that way. So I mean, I know it's going to be good, but I just don't know if anything in my mind could exceed what I just saw with the Avengers. You know, especially considering that's never been done before, man. To have all of the main characters establish their own franchises. Everything is in a timeline. It ties together nice and neat and flows directly into this. I mean, it's just, you haven't seen that. You know, so I'm curious to see how it's going to play out.
Q?
Well, I honestly think that the only, when you're talking about this movie, Avengers changing the game, the only entity that it changes the game for is Marvel. And what I mean by that is, you know, I can't imagine really now after seeing the Avengers, and this is one thing I will compliment the movie on from here to eternity. It managed to mesh together all of these characters into a cohesive storyline. Now, I may not necessarily like how the storyline goes, but I would say even at that last scene, they did an excellent job of meshing together all of these characters and giving them both their fair play. But in terms of like DC or whomever owns DC or whatever, you know, having to step up their game, I disagree with that. I think Dark Knight has set the tone, and like Big Ken said, DC will get a pass. But I can't see myself spending money to go see Captain America 2. Or Thor 2 or Iron Man 3, since I've seen how well all of these characters mesh together, I've been ruined to see any of these movies with the individual characters, because I'm always going to be saying, well, damn, they did it. So now, practically, I know why they can't do it. It's money and, you know, it's the franchises. But when I'm sitting there, I'm probably going to be out of the story because I'm like, they did it so well when all of them are playing together. Why don't they call Thor? Why does Iron Man call Pepper? You know what I mean? So when you talk about stepping up the game, I do not think this steps up the game for superhero movies in general. No, I think it steps up. It paints Marvel or whomever, you know, it paints the Marvel production company into a corner, because it stepped up the game for them. and creating all these sequels for these individual characters, which I just don't see having the same cachet anymore without seeing them all together on screen.
Well, I will say this, and then I know Big Sexy may jump in. I think it changes the game for everybody because, on one hand, it shows that, and to me, I'm DC. I'm like, okay, we need to get the Super Friends initiative or whatever, because Justice League, there's no damn way in hell they cannot be thinking about how are we going to get Superman, you know, Batman, Green Lantern, Flash, Wonder Woman. That movie has to be done. Like, we're not going to be able to pull off these little Green Lantern-ness. You're not going to be able to put out another Green Lantern-style movie. The public is not going to have it. Marvel's in. They're not going to be able to put out the Fantastic Four like they did last time. The people are not going to have it. If you're going to have Galactus in the story, can't be a Cloud. It has to be Galactus. You know what I'm saying? Even the X-Men movies, they got to be on point. They got to be, you know what? The X-Men movies, personally, you better have Wolverine in the Wolverine costume. You better have them cats looking just like they look in the book. And if that means you're going to have to get somebody who knows what the hell they're doing, that's what you're going to have to do. Because them Avenger movie done set the bar so high, all them characters going to have to be the characters. There's no reason why they can't look like they do in the book. If you got Captain America with his most ridiculous costume in the whole movie like that, Thor, you see Thor didn't have no street clothes on. He's Thor. You know, they're going to have to be the characters. It works. It can work if done right. And I think with the DC is going to have to be like, you know what? Okay, we're going to have to do Wonder Woman. It's going to have to be dope. It can't just be some little throwaway movie. Punisher, it can't be some throwaway movie. All these movies going to have to be on point, or I think the public would just shun them. It'd be just like you're going to waste your money because they ain't going to be popping. And I agree with you. They did make themselves in a corner with these movies, but I would say this. I don't think that anything that the characters developed in this Avengers movie goes beyond what they can continue to go do in their own movies. It doesn't mess with any of their timelines in those movies, though.
Nope, it sure doesn't.
It doesn't change the characters at all.
In fact, I think it continues the timeline, because isn't like Iron Man 3, for example, I mean, he's supposed to be going up against the Mandarin, but I've already read somewhere, maybe it was Slash Film or somewhere, where they said they're purposely setting this film up where Iron Man is going to be isolated. He can't get to the Avengers. So the Avengers are doing their thing. He can't get to them. You know what I'm saying? So, and they can continue those stories along that line. So I don't see there. Why can't they continue to do the same thing they're doing now? Iron Man, Cap, Thor 2, right. Whatever, it's and they the all converge at the Avengers 2.
Right. It's the same with their books. Obviously, you know, they don't all be in each other's books all the time. So I think they can easily continue their stories. Yeah. I would say, you know, the nitpick and I said this online, you know, nobody ever mentioned Rhodey, you know, like, or was War Machine. Maybe he could have came in and helped him out. But again, I know that he got his own thing. They're not going to bring everybody into it. But I would say, you know, going in comparison, DC, Marvel, DC got to step their game up, because we all know this is the last the Nolan Batman. That's a wrap. This is it. So what they going to do next? I mean, they got Superman coming. To me, all eyes is on Superman. That movie,
I was just about to say that. The pressure is on that movie, man.
They got to be on point with that. And they got to have something else ready to go that can open up their thing. They got too many other heroes and great stories to not open this thing up and be on point. You know, the solo, you can have the solo movie thing. That's no doubt about it. But you're going to also have to be, you got to show your universe. That's what it's going to come down to. It's like, okay, can you bring the Marvel Universe to the screen? Yes. Can you bring the DC Universe to the screen? Yes. Obviously, it can work because they did it. So why can't you? Now it's on to them to bring in some people who know the material and are great filmmakers and say, okay, let's do this thing. Let's really show how it's supposed to be done. Just like they did with Batman. That was a game changer with The Dark Knight. Actually, all the Batman movies when they first started were game changers. That very first Batman movie, game changer. You know, you can love it or hate it now, but Tim Burton did his thing, set the tone. But now it's where it's, you know, Spider-Man was, okay, wow, you can have a dude being bright colors. Okay. Now here we are. Big Sexy, what's your take on the DC movies, Marvel movies going forward?
Well, it's like you said, you know, now that we've seen that people can accept the characters as they appear in the books, because as a comic fan, I didn't like the X-Men because I didn't see the outfits. You know, I saw Storm when she was on set or on screen, and in X-Men First Class, they got Banshee and Havoc just terrible. You know, you can do these characters and do them just as properly. With Iron Man in his third movie, I don't know what it's about, but see, Iron Man is such a flawed character. To me, Marvel needs to go straight to the Demon in a Bottle storyline and really set that thing apart, because he did that alone without any Avengers involvement at all. You know, and with Thor, there are also classic storylines involving Thor that don't involve the Avengers. Same thing with Captain America. So they can go ahead and do their other things and come back for Avengers-type events and continue to nail it. Now, for DC, you know, they were... I saw Green Lantern. Green Lantern was bullshit. I saw Jonah Hex. Jonah Hex was bullshit. You know, I think people in power over there aren't taking the fan base and their money serious enough by insulting them with bullshit product. If they come out with something that the fans who buy these books know, we're going to go. And if we go, we're going to spend money, and the other people are going to go. They gotta increase their awareness. Now, the Batman films, the Nolan films have been great because they've taken existing stuff from the books, which is key. You know, the first one with Joker, they did a lot of Ra's al Ghul in there, which was great. Or excuse me, Joker was in the second one. And they did Ra's al Ghul in the first one. And with this one, they're doing Bane. So they're taking things from the book. Now, how they tie it in, don't know. But if they're going to do other things, they need to do a Justice League. They have to. Marvel has thrown down the gauntlet. DC's got to pick it up. Now, I know they're developing a Green Arrow type show along the line of Smallville. That's not going to get it done. Okay, that's some bullshit. They need to do this. They got the Warner Brothers behind them. Let's go to work and get this thing happening. Now, one more thing for me, as a personal aside, if they ever make that Captain America shield for sale, I will have one in my office. That shield.
I want the hammer myself, man.
I'm going to ask everyone a question here. In terms of what I said earlier about, in my opinion, how it's going to make it tougher to do these individual movie franchises.
I don't know.
Let me just get this out. So in the Avengers, but putting aside everything I've said, okay, and focusing on the fact that I agree with everything that's been said, that these characters were written very well in an ensemble cast. I have no quarrel with that. Okay. And you just saw all these characters fighting an apocalyptic army that was coming and wrecking shop all through Midtown Manhattan. So I guess the question I would have is, how is it possible that they could up the stakes in any of these individual movies? I mean, after seeing what we saw in this movie and seeing what they had to deal with all these aliens coming to attack Manhattan, how can they possibly make the jeopardy even greater in any of these movies?
Because they got bigger, but there's bigger villains, bigger fish to fry, man.
Yes.
If they go through the storylines, if they go through the storylines of the various books, okay, you know, Thanos, for example, he has run-ins with Iron Man. He has run-ins with Spider-Man. He has run-ins with all kind of people. You know, in addition to these other stories that, like Big Sexy's talking about, like the whole Demon in the Bottle thing for Iron Man and, you know, Thor, his Beta Ray Bill, and all this other stuff that they got going. They got all kind of stuff that they could draw from if they stick to the source material like they did this current movie.
Well, yeah.
And the current movies.
Yeah, Captain America, I mean, they could easily touch on the whole Bucky thing.
Yep, Winter Soldier, they could do all that.
They could touch on Red Skull. I mean, we don't know if he's dead. I mean, he's one of his main villains. Maybe he is alive.
You might be right about the Winter Soldier, Mike, because we don't know based off the Captain America movie. We just saw Bucky fall off the train. We didn't see him verified as dead, so most likely he'll probably be back.
And the thing is, falling off the train in that icy component is just how they used to set up the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Since found him in 1950-something and brought him back. So
yep.
All these things can happen. And the Jeopardy and Demon in a Bottle, at one point, while under the influence, Tony Stark let someone, unbeknownst to him obviously, take control of his armor and kill a diplomat. That's a problem. You know, so there's a lot of jeopardy involved in all these characters as solo people without, you know, going back to the Avengers all the time.
But even in the end of this movie, you know, Nick Fury kind of, I mean, the whole movie shows them going their separate ways. at the end, and him saying at the end, he like, well, if there's something that happens that's big, yeah, they'll come back. You know, we're bringing them back. So I think that they're going to go off and do their own personal things. Obviously, they've got 20 years of, or more of each one of those books to draw from, which shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, they got all kind of stories.
And they are still,
as far as I know, based on what I've read. Now, again, this is all rumor. We don't know for certain, but, you know, they're going to be expanding, you know, bringing more of some of the quote-unquote B-list characters, you know, out of the Marvel stable to the film, too, that can be integrated in these stories, cast like Doctor Strange and all these and some other good characters, man. So they got a lot of room to play.
True. You know, and who's to say they don't do another solo movie with some new character that, you know, even like, remember, when Iron Man came out, he was not a top-tier character when that first movie dropped. So they could bring, maybe they do a Luke Cage movie, and that movie blows it down whenever it comes out. And then, okay, he has to be in Avengers 2, and now they've got even more people. Or, you know,
what's messed up is that the studios got all the properties all divvied up, man. If Marvel had control of all the properties, man, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that you wouldn't see, you know, the current stuff like the new Avengers and the Secret Avengers and stuff come to screen, man. You know, you would have Spider-Man and Wolverine on the Avengers team as they are now currently. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the studios got everything mixed up.
I predict this would happen. If I was Sony, I would be like, you know what? Yes, we need to have Spider-Man, even if he's just in there for a couple of scenes, have him in there, because all that's going to do is hype up and promote their Sony Spider-Man movie. It ain't going to take away from it. It's just going to make people even more crazy to see it. And it's just everybody, let's get this money. They need to bring, like, the Avengers team of lawyers together and assemble and get the deals on the table. So, okay, you get your 20%, and throw all them cats in the movie and then let them all go into their respective franchises and they all get rich. I don't see why they don't just get the people what they want. The people are ready to shell out the money for it if it's good.
Hey, Mike, didn't they say that they had plans to do a Luke Cage, you know, like Power Man, Iron Fist type movie? I could have swore that they were batting that around.
I would not be surprised. I don't know if you saw the latest.
I don't know about Iron Fist for sure, but I know, I swear I've read Luke Cage was, you know, they were batting that idea around.
I want to say Tyrese had talked about this at one point.
Oh, okay.
Whether or not that happened. Well, I will say this. I bet you they are thinking about it, because if you saw the last episode of the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, was it? No, it was the Avengers, the last Avengers episode. The Avengers wasn't even in it. It was all.
Yeah,
it was just those two.
Yeah, well, I would love to see somebody really do Power Man, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist done right, man.
Well,
those are, to me, two of the most underrated characters, man, and I love them cats, man.
I think those cartoons and the other stuff that Marvel puts out are just early indications of what they probably want to do to see if they work. You know, like, I use this, my son as an example. He's only 4, but he is well-versed in the Avengers, and he's versed in it because he's watched those episodes. Like, he knows all those characters. And to me, like, they've gotten these kids so integrated into understanding who an Iron Man is. Like, he calls him Tony Stark. He doesn't call him Iron Man. Like, he knows who Hulk is and all. He knows these
characters. I'll do you one better, man. My three-year-old knows the major characters, man. One of his first phrases was, when he says Captain America, he says, Captain America. That's how he, I got him on film saying that, Captain America. That's one of his first phrases, man. Yeah. So go figure, man. They got the kids locked up.
Well, yeah, and I truly believe these movies, you know, all this stuff is made to service them as they grow to watch these movies and as they keep going. So I would not be surprised if we see these other heroes. You know, I want them to reboot the Fantastic Four, and now it can be done right. Don't skimp on it. If you just did the Avengers, there's no reason why you can't do those movies the right way.
I'd like to see Doctor Strange too.
Yeah, any of that. And I say the same thing with DC. If you're gonna do another movie or whoever, okay, there's no reason why you can't do it right.
But you know what? You hit on one thing I will give you props on, which I should have said it before, but it's so true, man. The one really good thing about these Avengers movie, man, you're right, is that they didn't change the costumes, man. Okay, I like the fact that they didn't go jack with Iron Man's armor. They didn't mess with Thor's outfit. They didn't mess with Cap's outfit.
I'm with Big Sexy. That's one of the main pet peeves about the X-Men movies. I hate it. I hated those stupid black leather outfits. It's like you can't. How do you? You've resonated with the character for years by reading the books, and you know what they look like. And then they go and change it to make it more real. I hated that, man.
Hey, Big Ken, but let me ask you this: do you really think they would put Hugh Jackman in that Wolverine mask with the black flares going up the side?
I would say this: if they cared about the real fans, like Big Sexy said, if they cared about the true fans that support that character, that would really be paying the money to go see that, they would. I think going from this point forward, they may change to do that.
Well, and again, to me, Captain America shows that his outfit is as ridiculous as they come. He got the feather things in the head, but he's wearing it. And only person who said anything about it was Tony Stark in a funny way. But I think they made a point to just have him wear it the whole freaking movie. Like, so what? He's Captain America, man. He going to wear the stars and stripes. I mean, all politicalness aside, he looked ridiculous, but it worked. Like, he was such a, to me, he was just so cool. It's like, you know what? I appreciate him being in that shit. Like, that's who he's supposed to be. Same with Thor. He's just a dude wearing some crazy shit. He ain't from this world. He don't got no fashion sense. He's not going to be out of costume and street clothes. This is his shit. He's a superhero. You know, Wolverine, to me, maybe his flare on the head don't go as high as it do in the book. But come on, man, he should be wearing... I want to see him in the yellow. I want to see him in that brown.
In the brown.
That shit is dope. Like, that's the character, man. People would go nuts if he walked on screen like that. That's all I could tell you that much.
Yeah, Rogue, she should have been in her normal, you know, that greenish color thing. That would have been nice to see, man.
You know, they have Magneto. He's basically wearing his stuff straight out of the book.
Yeah.
I like his helmet. The helmet was too small.
Right. It seemed like it was too tight, right?
I wasn't right.
Man, is anybody getting a bad connection?
No, I'm all right.
No, I'm good.
Okay, go ahead.
I think Marvel, and I'm being super deep now, they missed an opportunity, or unless they come back to it, to introduce a Black Panther film. When they talked about where they got that shield from, they're like, oh, this is vibranium, and we don't have any more. And we all know vibranium comes from Wakanda. Right there, they could have plugged that in and dropped a little tidbit for future reference.
Maybe they will, though. I think they still could. I think they have to make that movie because that character is so prominent in the cartoon.
Exactly. I'm just going to say, the one thing we have to also keep in mind is that we're dealing with Hollywood. And we're talking about, you know, these individual franchises and Avengers 2. I mean, you're looking at like 2025, the year 2025 almost. And we're dealing with actors who are going to get tired of wearing these really uncomfortable outfits. You know, we're going to look at actors who are aging. And so I don't know how practical it is to think that they can cover all this ground with both the Avengers and with the individual movies. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I think you were James Bond.
Well, yeah, of course, they every, 4 years, they get a new James Bond, but will the fans buy that?
Well, I've always said the fans ultimately are fans of these characters. Actors are interchangeable in these movies. As great as Tony Downey or Tom, whatever, homie is Iron Man, and I think he's the shit, again, there's always somebody bigger and better out there. And again, Iron Man ain't going to never stop. He's going to keep going whether he want to be in the movies or not. Same with Batman and any other character.
We had this conversation before, and I got to tell you, this is just me talking. I can see every one of those other actors being replaced in those characters. I can see you finding another Captain America. I can see you finding another Scarlet Witch. Black Widow. I can see another Hulk. I cannot see them finding anybody else to replace Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man.
But they will. I can guarantee you they will one day. Because there's too much money on the table. And Tony, you know, old boy, as great an actor as he is, he's not the friend.
Nobody would take that part. After what he's done with it, no actor in his right mind.
Did somebody take Joker? Did somebody take the Joker part after Nicholson?
Yeah, after the franchise was dead for what, 10 years?
Well, I'm just saying, the movies are going to continue regardless if them actors are going to be in them or not. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, 10 years later, yeah. But I'm saying they want to keep it going right now.
Yeah, but that's the same argument people said. That's the same argument people said about the James Bond. You know, after Sean Connery, nobody want to take that. After Roger Moore, nobody want to take it. Somebody's going to always be there. Now, whether the public buys it or not, that remains to be seen. But the character that the public wants to see, the James Bond franchise, that's going to keep going.
Yeah, I think he's right.
Somebody's going to take over an Iron Man role. I just read something 3 days ago saying that, you know, Robert Downey Jr. don't know how much longer he's going to do this. So this, after Iron Man 3, that might be it for him. So who knows, man? Somebody will take it.
It's just like Spider-Man. You know, people, how can they make it so fast? Again, if this is a good movie, people are not going to care.
I would say to me, Tobey Maguire did not put his stamp on that role.
Well, he's the only stamp of that role. I'm just saying that nobody, we don't know anything other than him, though. There's a lot of people who don't want it, are bewildered. Like, how are they remaking this so fast? Only a few years ago. But again, I'm just saying because it's the character of Spider-Man. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't care who good the actor is. Just like with the Joker now, as dope as Homeboy shut it down, trust me. There can be somebody else that can blow that out of the water. There are just great actors out there. There's great directors out there. There's a great, somebody else can be Wolverine. I don't see it, but I know that it can happen. Just because I don't see it don't mean it can't happen.
Oh, well, it can happen. I mean, like Big Ken said, they can do whatever they want. Is the public going to buy it? That's the question. And it was funny. When I look at the actor that played Loki, who was great in that role, I kind of could see him playing the Joker.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, again, a great. That's why I have to give it up to my man, and who plays Captain America. He was the human, wasn't he? The Human Torch in the other movies.
Yep. Yep.
He's always played those kind of funny little characters. Now, to me, he was dead ass serious in this. He blew it out the wall. I'm like, this. That's Captain America. Like, it just goes to me. It goes to show if an actor locks into something, they can make what he can play the full Human Torch, or he can play the leader Captain. So anything can happen.
And a lot of it too, let's be real, a lot of it too depends on the screenwriting too, man.
Very true.
You know, I mean, you could have the best actor in the world, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is the man, but if the screenwriting sucks, you know, it's not going to matter. So,
yeah,
you know.
I think what they need to do is they need to lock down Josh Whedon to do these movies personally.
No, they probably already negotiated a deal for Avengers 2 with him, man.
They need to have him do all the other, at least write the other ones. I think he was actually an uncredited writer on Captain America, but they need to have make sure he got his hand in there so they could be done properly because, I mean, he just had it on lock, man. He locked it down. He knew the character. Just to throw it out there talking shit, my man Lucas, he's just gone and say, look, man, here, go ahead and redo Star Wars. You go on and go on and take it. Go do your thing. Give me my check. That's all I need. Because, man, Josh Whedon is on point, man. I would say if you haven't seen Serenity, that movie, go and watch that movie. There's a lot of the fight style stuff that you saw in this is in that, too. It's, you know, the way the characters interact with each other, it's the same shit.
So. Okay. Let me ask you this. You guys mentioned Spider-Man. Do you think now with the Avengers being as successful as it is by sticking to the true representations, do you think they can do that with Spider-Man? Because now you mentioned it, I'm thinking about how the Green Goblin wasn't even fucking close, and how they had Mary Jane thrown off the bridge when we all know it was Gwen Stacy. So do you think they can stick closer to the source material now?
Well, I think the Avengers sticks close to certain stories per se. I think somebody brought it up. Hawkeye or whatchamacallit, I don't think were in there at the beginning. But
Hawkeye in issue 16.
But Spider-Man, I think, works. To me, Spider-Man, this new one, looks like it's going to be very cool just from the trailer. I like certain aspects of the other movies. It just didn't go far enough. But I think they're close enough to the books where, like, I think, too, we got to remember, these movies have to play to everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I would say about the Avengers, it's not like it's a problem, but I wonder how it plays to people who have never seen any of those other Marvel movies. Is it still easy to understand? Which I think it is for the most part. It's its own movie. I don't think it's required that you have seen those other movies. And I don't think that these comic book movies need to require you to know about them to see them, for them to be really successful movies.
I'd say you probably, the uninitiated probably at the minimum should have seen at least Iron Man and probably Captain America. Because, I mean, if you didn't see Captain America, you wouldn't know what the hell the Cosmic Cube even is. You know what I'm saying? If you were coming in and you hadn't seen it, you know, you would be sitting there like, well, what's with the blue cube? What's, you know. So, I think it might have been helpful if somebody saw that. But
I actually think Captain America is the only one where they even show some sort of origin in this movie.
You know, yeah, right. They showed him on the table being thawed out. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and everybody else is just like, you just fucking accept it. You know, well, this guy's got a costume. He's Iron Man. This guy's Thor. They say he comes from some planet. And a lot, I will admit, though, the whole cube and all that stuff, I knew something about it, but it was a little kind of like, I don't really understand what they were talking about to a degree. I didn't care. I knew that the bad guys wanted it. They had to get it, and he was going to open up some doorway to the aliens. That's all I needed to worry about. I didn't need to know nothing else.
Question for you guys. Did that... And I know I'm the ultimate nitpicker, but that's just what I do. Did that bother any of you that the powers of the cube seemed like they were completely different from Captain America?
A little bit.
The only thing that the cube was used for, other than mind control, was to open up a portal. I mean, and I remember the Cosmic Cube from the original Captain. I think it was the first time it appeared in the Marvel Universe. It was in Captain America in the late 60s or early 70s, and the Red Skull had it. And it gave the user ultimate power to manipulate reality. So, that kind of was like, why is it only being used to open up a door to let these aliens come through? That didn't bother anybody else?
Nope.
Bother me, but again, there's a lot of little things that if you wanted to go through that probably, but again, I think most movies have that where some of it doesn't all add up. How did Thor even get back to Earth? I thought they couldn't even do that to begin with. But again,
because he said Odin conjured up a lot of dark magic to bring him there.
Yeah, and like I said, I accept that, whatever that means. It's like, whatever, it don't matter to me. Honestly, it don't. Yeah. Matter. You know, the whole little thing that they had to throw that thing in there about Natalie Portman, right? Because like, oh, how come she ain't in the movie? Because she got to go do some talking.
But I thought that was kind of tight though, because that let you know
I like that part.
Right, because she's still working on trying to connect to the bridge or whatever to get Thor back.
I know that she's a big enough actor that they ain't running that much money to pull her into that.
Right.
I mean, that's why I was like, yeah, they had to say something.
She would have had just a bit part in the scheme of how stuff transpired on this movie anyway, man. But they covered the base to let you know that she's still around. She just ain't here.
Right, but I'm just saying she's a big enough actor where she's not going to be in no bit parts. That's what I'm saying. I know that. Yeah. So I know they had to say something about it because ain't no way in hell she's going to be in there for a scene.
But I thought that was cool, though, man. Like I said, man, they tied up all – I mean, if there were any loose ends between the other films, I mean, man, within the first 15 minutes, I mean, you knew where the status was, you know, and the connection from the other films to this one.
The only thing they don't explain in it, and again, I don't care. They don't explain why the Banner has the control.
But didn't they imply that though at the end of the Hulk? At the end of the Hulk movie, he sat there and it said days without incident. He had zero incidents.
Right.
The last scene was showing him with the green eyes smiling, which to me, I thought right at that moment that he was under control.
Why didn't he have control in the helicarrier then?
That's another problem I had.
He did have control. The only time that he almost lost control was when they were in that room bickering, and he was near the Loki staff with the cube. So everybody was under the influence of that cube in the room.
Okay, so now here we go. So you're saying that he really did just want to beat Scarlet Witch's ass? He was going to beat her ass? Is that what
it was? I'm saying that, all that was happening on the helicarrier, man. Loki's staff was nearby, all that shit, man. That was all your boy Loki and his trickeration.
Mike,
what you're doing right now is you're trying to follow the logic of the screenplay.
Oh, I
got you.
That's what I've been doing all along.
Logical screenplay. It's totally, it makes no sense. But we always say, oh, that's because this was that.
That's all true, but that's bullshit too, man. Because every comic book that you ever read, man, don't follow complete logical, you know. Let's be real, man. Comic books, no matter what the subject matter, are based out of fantasy, man.
But here's the thing. I hear what he's saying, but that's why I said at the beginning, most movies do that.
Most movies are going to have some type of loophole. And yeah, I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but I mean, damn, they batting, you know, 995. I mean, they can't be 1,000. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
This is why I call you the ghetto Roger Ebert, because you look at shit like that. You want to go to see the Avengers and come out watching Braveheart. That's where you're.
Mike came to the dark side with me. Let me put it to you like this.
I'm about to pull Mike back the way he was.
All right. Now go ahead and let Q say his side of what he's gonna say.
All right, my Padawan. Check this out. What I didn't understand, and let me just say in all seriousness, this is just fun nitpicking for me. I'm not saying this debilitated the movie, but it's just, you know, there's a little bit of fun in this. It's just interesting that it took him about, I'm going to say, 5 minutes to turn into the Hulk on the helicarrier. And if he could really control it, it would seem to me he wouldn't want to be the Hulk in a big flying ship. However, when they're in Manhattan, and I think someone said, okay, Captain America said, okay, Dr. Banner, this would be a good time for you to get angry. And the thing is coming right at him. He says, you know what? I'm always angry. In 5 seconds, he turns to the Hulk.
Yeah, but like I said, my theory is on the helicarrier, everybody was under the influence of Loki's trickeration, man. Everybody. They were all bickering and fighting. They weren't themselves, all of them, on that ship.
I didn't pay 25.
You know what? On the real though, you know, all jokes aside, man, on the real though, I didn't even think it that far. I'm not thinking that far the way you taking it, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't even look at it, you know. Like Mike said, there's going to be loopholes in the story. You know, I knew where they were getting at, but my whole thing was when I got done watching the Hulk movie, my thought was he had learned to control it.
Right.
That's what they implied. And right. So this whole movie, yeah, he could have, you know, turned it on when he was ready, but he didn't. Until that one time on the ship when everybody was pissed off, bickering at each other, yelling at each other, and Loki in the little cage smiling, because that's what he wanted. So,
well, you know what? See, now, real quick, I got to say one thing.
We just spent 20 minutes talking about how they need to stay true to the books, to the characters. Then why the hell could? Why do they have to? Why can't Hulk talk? Why can't Hulk be somewhat sentient? Why can't he think a little bit? I mean, as cool as he was in this movie, and he stole the show. Why would it kill them to have him talking a little bit like he does in the book, where he can halfway understand? Like when the Avengers first formed, the Hulk was in a state of where he had some of Banner's intelligence. He spoke like a human being. Why would it kill them to have him do that instead of growling all the time?
Well, I don't disagree with you on that, and that maybe can be explored in his, if they ever have another movie with him. I think I would love to see that, and they have time to get it.
They will.
I would just say, though, going back.
But damn it, I've had 10 years to do it. What they're waiting for?
Well, again, they've had two other movies, right? And they didn't get it right.
I know. They've had two movies. And
this was the best interpretation they've ever shown of him so far. So they are moving toward that, I hope. But I would just, to go back into this movie, the only thing I say that doesn't add up, again, kind of going with some of the stuff that Big Ken was saying with the Hulk. He seemed to be scared turning into the Hulk. He kept saying, well, what if the other guy has a problem with it, as if he had no control over that dude. But then at the end, all of a sudden, he has no problem becoming that guy. Like, he's not scared of what that guy is going to do. And again, I don't care, because it was all cool, but that is like a little kind of...
Yeah, but if that's the situation that you want him to just say, buck it, you know, we might die anyway. We got all these damn aliens coming into this bitch. Might as well turn green.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying at that point... At the end of the movie, toward the last battle, is a person who can sit there and take orders, right? Because he sat there, you know, he's not just going raw like he was in the helicarrier, Captain America is standing there and they just talking. He's just standing there waiting for him to tell him what to do, and he goes and does it. He doesn't explain why he can just, he's going to go follow orders all of a sudden. But in the first part, when you see him in the movie at the beginning or in the middle part, he's just unleashed rage, which I expect him to be. But they don't really explain how all of a sudden he has control over him like that. Because in the whole first part of the movie is him being scared to turn into the Hulk. He doesn't want to turn. He don't want to lose control. He's like, the other guy is not going to, the other guy is going to tear shit up. I'm going to tear up Harlem. You know, like, I agree. At the end of the movie, he said he has control. But he didn't have control at that first part. And then all of a sudden at the end, he does. And they don't really explain how he does that, how that happens. I think if that was the one, not a fault, but it just that doesn't really make any sense.
No, it's a fault.
There's no explanation of why he has control all of a sudden. And he's such a standout character of the movie, but again, I think the movie is so good that you don't care. You let it go. Because you do. I mean, it's a major point. It's like, well, why didn't, if he would have just did that in the earlier part, you know, he probably could have just picked up, like, he could have picked up Rico a long time ago and just slammed the shit out of him on the ground. If that was, if he had.
I guess what I would say is that you're right. Maybe we shouldn't care about that. But the fact, think about how even better a movie would have been if they addressed little things like that. Why is it so wrong to say the movie could have been even better?
Oh, it's not wrong to say that. And again, I only think of this after I step away from the movie. I've seen it twice, and I can sit here and think about it. But in the course of the movie, because it's such a good movie, I think it's a brilliant movie because you don't care about that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's some stuff in Star Wars, like, if you were to sit back and really go through hardcore, yeah, it's a mess. But if you just watch the movie and take it for what it is, it's brilliant. And I think this movie is the same way. It's like, well, yeah, there are little things in here you could do that with. But if you just watch the movie and take it for what it is, it all works. I still love the movie because it doesn't matter that they don't explain that. You know, I don't care.
I can't. I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'm talking shit, but I can't think of anything on top of my head in the first Star Wars movies where I think, why didn't they explain that? I can't.
Well, the first Star Wars movie, those are golden. I guess maybe I'm talking of, you know, like Phantom Menace and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah, because we're in the 21st century filmmaking mode now where some things don't matter, like we're saying.
Well, that's all I'm saying. Right. Here you go.
So let me ask you a question, man. So
let's go.
Is Agent Coulson dead or is that a life model decoy? What's your opinion? I would say decoy, but that's just me.
I think he's still alive.
His character is too much another stuff.
I wouldn't think. I mean, I think his character is. It just seems odd that they would have him be so popular and then like.
And kill him. Exactly.
So, but you know, and you can see even, you know, the whole thing about the cards. He was obviously lying, and he said he wanted to do that to kind of, you know, pump them up. And we never see the body. He just says, "Oh, the doctors called it." You know, but they don't show it or anything like that. So maybe he was still alive. He just obviously he's letting you know that he can lie about some shit if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nick will lie. You know, Nick will do what he needs to do to get the job done. And I like how they had Coulson on the little on the reel, not the reel, but the little deleted scene in Captain America as he went and broke up that bank robbery. Coulson's a major player. I don't think they're gonna kill him off now.
Yeah, and plus he's in the cartoons and stuff.
Yep.
Pretty heavy. So,
yeah, that's what I figured. I said that's what I thought when I saw it happen. I was like, nah, he's a decoy. Life model decoy.
Let me ask you guys. Let me ask a quick question. Did you guys did you stay for the entire credit sequence? Because I left after the first credit sequence.
Yes, I did. I did.
I stayed. Yeah.
I didn't. What happened?
You know,
a hilarious scene at the end. It was pretty funny.
It's the scene. You know, in the movie where. Iron Man is laying back on the ground. And they took the face thing off, and he's like, "There's this restaurant that we got to go to."
Yeah.
They're at that restaurant, and
it's just hilarious because they're exhausted. There's not one word of dialogue spoken, but it's hilarious just to look at the facial expressions, and they're just zoned out eating this shawarma.
Yeah, they're just all sitting around the table eating.
Yeah, Captain America's got his head slumped over, like on his arms, and Thor's shoving some swammer down his face, but he's staring out into the, you know, just blank. And Tony Stark is just like, late. You know how you after dinner you might, you know, stretch after you ate too much, and you kind of got your hand in your pants, just kind of, you know, releasing your belt a little bit. He's got that kind of look. It's hilarious, man. It was a great scene, I thought.
I probably will go see this movie again just to give it another shot.
You won't like it. It won't matter.
Nah, see, you playing me now.
you playing yourself. This is why I call you the ghetto Roger. Look, man, I got nothing but love for you, Q. I do. You're my boy. But I'm going to tell you something, man. I've listened to almost every episode of Geeked Out, man. I haven't seen or heard one movie that you liked on an entire show.
Well, you just played yourself because you must not have been listening to the whole show.
You're right, because usually about when you get too whack, I end up turning it off. But, but most times, you don't like nothing. And so that's why, Mike, I had to be on this show to give the Avengers a fighting chance of being successfully reviewed. So I thank you, man. Allow me to jump in on this one.
I suggest you go check out our two year-end movie reviews. Well, it's five good movies from 2010 and 11.
Okay, I'll go back and check them out, man. Just for you, man.
But Big Sexy will appreciate this because this is going back a couple years. But we were talking about Terminator 2, and Big Sexy said how he didn't like that movie, and I agree with him. But I kind of prefaced it by saying, I now look at the movie. There's some movies when I first see them, I don't like them. When I go back to them, they kind of grow on me, like Terminator 2 did. I could possibly see going to see this movie again and saying, okay, I accept some things now. My first impression was it was just okay. Kind of disappointed me towards the end. I'll go see it again, and I might be like, okay, I can accept it for what it is because I like these superheroes. So I plan to go see it again and take my son to go see it. I want him to see it, have an IMAX experience. So I do plan to see this again, and I do want to see that end scene.
All right. So we're going to wrap that up. That was the Avengers, man. We really went into that movie in depth. Let us know what you think about this movie. I guess the next one up for me, I don't know if you guys can go see it, is Battleship. But the next comic book movie, I believe, is going to be Spider-Man.
I can't wait for that. That one looks like it's going to blow everything out the water to me.
Captain Stacy, I'm there.
Yeah, we'll converge again for Spider-Man, I'm sure. And, of course, The Dark Knight is coming. A lot of anticipation behind that movie. So there you go. Comic book movies, The Avengers, go see it. I think it is still a must-see, whether you've had fault with the movie or not. Definitely a fun time at the theater, no doubt about it. With that, we want to thank you for listening. You know all the people here. Catch us online again. I did mention that Freedom Train is over. So hopefully you're listening to us on something new, and it's just going to be a glorious thing going forward. With that, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on the show, and we will see y'all next time. Peace.